And now, it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, and Corey Sandin. Hey,
good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Rock Cod Rick Maxa. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here, right next to the San Diego Land in Point Loma, and we have a couple of great guests. Captain Mark Paisano and Paul Strasser from the Independence and 22nd Street Landing and San Pedro Bait Company and a whole bunch of stuff. So you stay tuned. This is Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Inside information is everything when it comes to catching fish in Southern California. You need a code group to connect with what's happening on the water. FishDope.com is your code group. Inside information available at your fingertips 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane, along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. They become your code group. You get daily catch reports from point conception to San Quintin, 365 days a year. FishDope.com has online planning tools, temperature and chlorophyll charts, hot bite icons, and more. Take it from me. If you don't have FishDope.com, you're not part of the in-the-know crowd. Membership is affordable and good for an entire year. Plus, use the special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
Want to take your catch from fresh to superior grade? This is Rod again from AFCO. We developed the tools for the EKGMA process. Circuit Breaker is specially designed to disable the full length of the fish's spinal cord. The memory-resistant wire of AFCO's Circuit Breaker will not bend or kink, even after repeated use. Take your fish care to the next level with Circuit Breaker by AFCO. Available at a dealer near you or check out AFCO.com.
Like Robbie said, take your fish care to the next level with Circuit Breaker by AFCO. Check AFCO.com or your favorite tackle retailer. In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone. The Ford F-150. Available with a Pro Power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Man, stoked to have you back. And today's a special day, Pete.
Back, 32nd anniversary on the air here of Let's Talk Hookup. How about that?
32 years.
32 years on the air. And I know you and Paul have been part of the show for probably three of those decades, right?
Oh, yeah.
With
Marty Milner and Pete Gray.
Yeah, back in the day. And Ricky was answering the phones.
That's right.
Remember that?
You were a phone answer.
He was a phone guy. So, we're pretty excited to head into our 33rd year.
It's crazy,
my God,
man.
It scares me just saying that, right? you've been doing this stuff up at 22nd Street for how long?
At 22nd Street since 84.
Okay, so
we put the first string in the water in 84, July.
Jeez.
So that's when I started at 22nd Street.
So you're at 40 years.
Yeah, there. Yeah. I've been running boats 41.
41
years. Because I had the Sport King in 83, the El Nino, when I started.
Yeah.
Running boats for quite a long time, a few decades.
Yeah.
Three, four decades.
I would say so, yeah. And you're... partner Mark, who's going to join us very shortly here, he's driving down from Pedro there.
Yeah.
You guys have been brothers practically since that time, right?
Yeah, well, when we were 13 or 14, I forgot what year it was, but 77, I believe, 76, 77, I went half-day fishing. And Mark became a pinhead on the boat I went half-day fishing on a week earlier.
No.
So when I'm walking down to the boat after I bought my $12 half-day ticket, he took my ticket.
Really?
And tore it and gave me the other half. Because that was, that's when I first, me and Mark first knew each other. We were both just pinheads on the sporking.
On the sporking.
76, 77.
77.
And then we started working.
And you were how old?
I believe 13 or 13 14.
Or 14.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And now you own the landing, you own the bait company, you own the beautiful Independence and Point Loma Sport Fishing. And
part of everything.
But
it just didn't happen that easy.
Oh no.
It sounds easy.
It sounds easy.
You start with half-day fishing and then you own everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, me and Mark together at the age of 20 with Russ Iser started building the first string. So we did all the work on the first string.
Really?
And when we put it, and he promised us we'll be able to run the boat once it gets in the water. And
so you worked for Iser.
I was Russ Iser's first employee for Iserline Fishing Tackle Company.
Wow.
Back in 1976 or 77, I used to, 78 or 79. Yeah, well, we used to package and all this stuff at his garage.
Wow.
That's what I did. And Russ used to come and fill his blue van up and make his runs up and down the coast. And I did that for a few years. And then I started running then I got my license at 19 and started running the sporking with Jim Peterson. And then Russ, I worked with Russ, worked with Jim Peterson. And then Russ offered us to help build the first string and then run the boat. So we basically quit everything, started driving the Marina del Rey for a year.
Oh, it was built in Marina del Rey?
Yeah, we built it in Marina del Rey. Me and Mark would jump on the freeway every day, 8 to 5. And then on the weekends, I'd run the sporking. Weekdays, I'd do the first string, building it. And then we put it in the water around first part of 84. And our first trip was like in July of 84. And me and Mark never got off that boat.
Wow.
One of us was always on that boat. And then 1988, the winter time, we got off the boat and went up to Ventura to look at the Monte Carlo, which was a half-day boat.
Jeez.
And we basically put our money together and bought the Monte Carlo, brought it down from Ventura, and started running half-day fishing from late 88, 89 on. And then in 1990, Iser sold the first string. And then me and Mark were looking for a three-quarter day boat to add to the Monte Carlo success. And we ended up coming down to San Diego and bought the Point Loma, which is now, we renamed it, the Islander.
Wow.
And then we kept that boat. Then we ran those two operations for a long time, tough fishing. We brought the Islander down to San Diego during the Albacore.
Now, the Islander, before it was Point Loma, was the Red Rooster 2,
right? That's
right.
It was the first long-range boat.
Yeah.
Lee Palm built it in 1968, double plank mahogany.
Yeah.
Dittmar Donaldson, a fabulous, very strong boat, and it's still running today. And then eventually we ended up buying the Pursuit, which was the Morningstar, renamed it back to the Pursuit, and then we got involved in the Sea Angler. So, I mean, it took decades never took paychecks, big home or anything, just kept reinvesting in our stuff and worked really hard don't see anymore nowadays, but we did a lot of work at a young age.
And, yeah, you did. And you still work really hard, man.
Yeah.
You guys
now we're in the bait operation.
Yeah.
And that's harder than ever. Now I got to get up at 9 o'clock at night and get home at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
And I got to run the boat tonight at 9 o'clock.
Do you really?
Could we supply Newport and San Pedro with live anchovy and sardines?
Oh, do you? Wow.
And we bought a boat three years ago, a new boat to add to the fleet, a larger boat. We had the St. Catherine, the Bounty, and then we ended up buying another boat up in Seward, Alaska, called the Wolverine.
Uh-huh.
And it's a much, much larger boat.
How'd you get that down here?
You drive it.
You ran it down here?
Me personally, no. We hired a couple guys who know the inner inlet of Alaska because they had to take it from Seward through the Prince William Sound. 40-foot wave blowing 30, 40 knots. They went through the Prince William Sound and then up there a Skagway and then all the way down to the inner. And then I had them take it to Coos Bay, Oregon. We did a conversion in Coos Bay, Oregon for 3 to 4 months. Got it to, and then we brought it down to San Pedro, ended up putting our bait wells in it and our big spool and our power, and our drum, all our good stuff.
And it's working out.
It's working out really well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a much larger boat. So in the bait world, we improved the San Pedro Newport operation by doing that. And so we're involved in a lot of stupid things.
And what was your transition like from fishing? You know, you gave us that awesome story. You've been fishing rod and reel since you were a kid, getting your ticket torn on a half day trip. What was your transition like to fishing commercial and fishing with a net? And I mean, that's a different world, right?
Yeah. Well, if you're a fisherman, you will adjust to your equipment, and that's basically what it is. You know, me and Mark were the first ones to use a color sonar, I believe, on the West Coast in 1984. The first string was the first boat with a colored sonar. And by learning the sonar and how it works and where the fish are, once you do that, a sport fishing guy can easily fish because he understands his equipment. And then you got a 1,200-foot net behind you. You just think, you know, it just takes doing. It takes doing. And it the only difference is you got a crew of three instead of 83 on the boat, you know.
Yeah.
A sport boat.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Pretty wild. And then, of course, you have this incredible vessel called the Independence. And you and Mark built that yourselves with a lot of help, of course. But you literally built it from the ground up.
Theoretically, yes. We at the end there, after having the four boats at 22nd Street Landing in 2003, there was a boat that came up for auction that was sort of built. It was 85 by 33, and we got it for a good price at an auction, and we basically tore the front off it and tore the back off it, tore the house off it, and did a lot of work to it. I mean,
What was it boat originally destined to be?
It was going to be a dive boat.
A dive boat.
Yeah, very large and wide steel dive boat. And we basically bought the boat, and like I say, we tore the front off it, added to the stern, added to the bow, built, and we did a lot. It took a year to get this thing ready to build a house on it. But it took us 2 years to build it. Started in 2002, we started, and we were done in 2004 of July.
I think that's why I like Andy so much, is because it was built by two guys with a lifetime of boat building and sport fishing and all of the things that, man, I wish we could have had this over the years, or man, I wish a boat had that over the years. You got to put two lifetimes worth of that into building the Andy.
Well, I mean, because every boat we bought was built with somebody else's dream.
Sure.
You know, the Islander, which was, you know, Lee Palm's long-range thing. The Monte Carlo, it's a Drake, beautiful boat. The Sea Angler, which was built in, you know, 1930-something. Wow. The Pursuit, built in 60-something. Everybody had a dream. So we saw all the aspects.
Yeah.
Then we put everything we knew and know into the Islander. I mean, Independence. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And just getting to know what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, what works, what doesn't. And when passengers go on that boat, they see little things. They're like, wow. Well, you know, this makes a lot of sense. Oh, wow, this, you know, the passenger capacity in the galley, the seating arrangements, the bunk arrangements, the tackle storage, the things that you use to tie hooks on, all these little things that you don't realize until you go on the boat. Yeah, and it's not just your generic elevator.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's and what's amazing about that boat is you can put 32 people on that boat, and you don't feel crowded.
They just disappear.
Yeah.
I mean, you were
so
on
big.
It. Well, that
I had my
ago,
first
right?
experience, yeah. thanks to you guys, going on that day and a half, which was really a two-day.
Right.
And because of the storm and everything, you had to shorten it up. It was a fabulous experience. And Brian, your captain.
Oh, yeah, Brian.
I mean, he is the fishing machine. He's a fishing animal. How else do you describe Brian? He is on it. And I wondered how these guys, the entire fleet, can do this nighttime, daytime stuff. It's like you just don't sleep.
Yeah,
right?
How do you keep enthusiasm at 3 a.m.?
Yeah, right. Yeah, get up!
Yeah,
they're biting.
Yep, Brian's very good at that.
Yeah.
He loves that. He loves people. He loves to deal with people.
Oh, yeah.
He loves catching fish.
Yeah.
And he's very fishy, like we say.
Yeah, he's good at rallying the people to get up and get rolling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good morning, Mark.
Mark just joined us here.
Great to have you.
Today.
Yeah. Thanks for coming down all the way from Pedro. We appreciate you joining us this morning. And, yeah, Paul's been talking about your escapades here. I don't know if you heard of being in the show.
Yeah, I was listening coming in. You guys were actually on air before you knew it. You
yeah, know I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was like we were so ingrained and talking, and it was like, oh, yeah, okay, great.
My bad for whatever bad things I likely said.
Yeah, no, you didn't say too many bad things, but hopefully not. Adam will correct that.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
But anyway, so, you were talking about you guys' history, and you guys date back to when you were, was it 13 years old, right?
30. Yeah. Yeah, we were, we were pinheads on the Sport Kingdom. I heard him talking about
you
taking
my ticket.
Yeah.
True, though.
Yeah, it's true. It's true, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, we go back a long ways.
So you guys, you both got your licenses when you were 18?
I got mine in 19. when I was 19.
19.
September of 1982, September.
Yeah.
I got mine in December of 83, a little bit later, because I was commercial fishing.
Ah.
So I took a break.
You don't need a captain's license when you're commercial fishing.
You don't.
Yeah.
Even to run the boat. I mean, you know, I was a crew member, but to run a boat, you don't need really. I don't know about now. No, I don't even think nowadays you need any type of, which is kind of crazy when you think about it.
Yeah.
You need a driver's license.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
California boater's permit, maybe? I don't know.
I don't think you need that.
Even need that. You just go fishing.
Most of those guys have been doing it for 50 years. They have more experience
than everybody.
Than the guys that are in the military.
Yeah. So what's it like transitioning from you guys from bait company to running all the local boats and stuff, all of a sudden being in the long-range business? What's that transition like?
Well, I mean, we started off, you know, working on half-day and three, like a lot of guys did. I mean, everybody starts somewhere. So you talk to most of the guys, they started off on either half or three-quarter day boats.
Sure.
And you just progress, and we started running. You know, I heard you talking about Russ Iser.
Yeah.
He gave us our first job, you know. And we became owners of the boat at 1% each when we were 20.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's $7,000.
$7,000 you own 1%.
Yeah, the boat was $700,000 to build at that time.
Wow, that's cool, though, but you were owners.
We were
invested in interest.
We were owner-operators.
So he got you hooked.
It was actually a good investment. We're making about 18%.
Yeah, it worked out, huh?
It was good.
Yeah.
You know, and but, you know, back then, interest rates were also in the 80s.
Yeah.
Remember what interest rates were?
Yeah.
High now, but they're really high then.
Yeah, it's for sure. So, when you went to the Islander, were you guys long range fishing, or are you pretty much just local Clemente, Catalina, Tanner Bank kind of stuff?
No. We had first drink, did a couple.
We did 2 day trips. You know, we fished a lot at Cortez and Tanner. That was our.
Yeah. But you didn't do any long trips down below or anything like that.
I actually fished. Long range with on the holiday back in the day with Pineapples actually running the boat, Ray Montero,
really?
And I did a 10-day trip when I was 17, and then I was on the Vagabond with Charlie Long for a 10-day trip.
Wow.
On there, but I was young then. I was still in, or just got out of high school, and but I enjoyed it. It was interesting back then. I mean, not having the techniques we have now,
sure.
Not having like the Wahoo bombs, and
yeah.
You know, we used Hopkins with single hooks, you know, and you'd have to sharpen, the hooks were, you know, kind of lousy where you have to sharpen them up, and they were soft, you know, the tip would, you get a Wahoo bite, and the tip would bend over mushroom, and then you couldn't hook anything. And I can remember fishing Wahoo with anchovies in 27-pound wire leader.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
I'm not kidding. We were sitting there. I think we're on the 23 on the ridge, and we were sitting there on the anchor for 2 days, and I caught 3 wahoo, and I hooked about 30.
Wow.
I mean, you looked in the water, and there was this free-swimming wahoo for hours.
But they didn't bite anything.
Well, they were biting these anchovies. I didn't know how to land them.
Before sardines.
We had 180 fish on the boat. It was just trying to land them
to land
a number 2 hook and an anchovy.
Yeah. And 27 pounds.
You get a lot of bites, but nobody was fishing really. I mean, there's a few guys throwing the Hopkins, but like, our techniques now with bombs and raider jigs and all the other stuff that we have to catch them and you know, high speed reels with Spectra and all that. We would have, who knows how many we would have caught.
We were talking the other day about how you used to have to pour water on reels when they started smoking, right?
Yeah.
Or just bringing parts and pieces. Like, I mean, the old days of fishing, you'd bring drag sets for your 4-0s and your newels, and at the end of the night, you guys are having all the reels broken apart on the tables and putting new drags and things back. I mean, you don't even think about that nowadays.
No.
Different ball game.
Yeah.
Different, and it's different ball game in the wheelhouse, too, right? Right, with the electronics and everything?
Yeah, that too,
yeah.
You know, everything. I mean, it's just society in general, the technology of everything, right? Now they're talking AI. Well, they can have captains that are that's one thing I think our job's safe on.
Yeah, you're probably good.
Good luck with that.
What about in the wheelhouse of a bait boat? Is the technology a lot different to help you catch more bait?
Well, we have the sonars, which we've been using.
Yeah.
And we have our up and down meters. And you got to know your bottom. People, when I mean by bottom, I mean you got to know just what the bottom is, because you're putting a net along the bottom. If you snag, you're going to rip. When you rip, you got to take the net off the boat and spend a day or two on the wharf with the needle. So you got to know the bottom structure, so you got to know that along with where the fish and how to put the fish before you put the net around them.
Yeah, so you really got to know what you're doing.
Yeah, and your GPS is really anytime you have good bottom, you catch fish, you mark it as such, and then we have a bad bottom, you see rocks and the hard shell, you got to mark it as a red flag, so you don't want to put your net around. Even the fish are living there, marking sick. I mean, you can vouch for this. So many times you have bad bottom, and the fish just always hang out there.
Yeah.
You're like, you don't even look the other way. You can't do it.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Sonar the same from the bait boat to what you guys fish in your sport boats?
Same sonar, but you run it differently. You're looking at it a little differently. I mean, last night, two nights ago, we sat in, 2.5 fathoms?
Oh, yeah. It was real shallow water.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, a few nights ago, we went back to old school. There's a lot of phosphorus right now in the water, which, you know, you see the
spots. From the red tide?
Yeah, I guess it is from the red tide because it's way more pronounced right now. But we were fishing off of Point Furman, and it was kind of slow fishing. So we went offshore, and we started seeing, you know, like the phosphorus fish in the water, and then I looked out ahead and I could see these glow spots. Like,
how?
Cool. Like, I didn't even use
glow spots.
Glow spots of these schools of sardine. I didn't even use the sonar. I saw one. I could see which way they were swimming.
Oh, that's
it was
cool.
So easy.
That's way cool.
I put the net around them. I saw them in the net swimming around the whole time. Never had to use the sonar, which is kind of old school fishing. That's how when I was commercial fishing on a purse seiner, we had a guy in the mast, and we'd use we'd dark out everything, running lights, everything, and so
turn everything off.
It wouldn't. There was no ambient light to mess you up.
Yeah.
Spotting the fish, and you take a spotlight and flash it, and it would mackerel especially would like kind of flare up, and you could see a glow spot from like way outside the sonar.
No kidding!
Wow.
Oh yeah,
wow, that's cool.
It's pretty weird. You look
at the bluefin tuna too was awesome. Yeah. Like when the plane was putting us on school as a bluefin, you could be in the mast and you could see these bluefin, especially the big ones, fired up. You know,
from the bioluminescence.
From the bioluminescence,
wow.
And you can really find. You know, now these bluefin fishing now are deeper, so you don't see them right up on the surface.
Yeah.
But when they get up on the surface at night, it's awesome to see them.
That's cool. Well, as you can hear, we have a great show lined up for today. A couple of guys that really know their stuff.
Oh, man, so much fun having Mark and Paul, and so much cool stuff to cover, and we want to have you join us. Clearly, it's going to be a busy show this morning because every single phone line is already packed up, but we got 2 hours coming your way and lots of opportunity to get through on the phones. If you want to call us this morning, it's 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090. That's how you reach us here on Let's Talk Hookup, or send us a text. Texting the show now, so popular on Let's Talk Hookup. If you want to text your questions into both Mark and Paul, that's only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app. Free download, easiest way to listen to Let's Talk Hookup. You can catch all the archive shows, and as soon as you fire up the app, you'll see the option of texting your questions into the show. We always say make sure you include your contact info when you send us a text, because if you're the big prize winner at the end of the show, we need to be able to get it to you. So just make sure you leave a name and a phone number along with your text questions, and at the end of the show, we're going to flip a coin, and that coin is going to determine whether the winner comes from the caller side or the texter side. So a great opportunity for one lucky caller or texter today, and we are giving away a killer new prize. And thank God for this. We have been dying for it. The transporting, keeping, storing, whatever you want to call it, reels has become super difficult in the tackle store because there was a lack of... There's a lack of reel bags. Nobody makes reel bags anymore. And the company who does such a good job building all of that technical soft gear type stuff is Aptco. They build the nicest tackle bags and soft bags and everything. Well, they have a brand new reel bag, and it is killer. It's like a two-stack system. It's a small footprint, holds a lot of reels, totally, you know, dividable. It's just awesome.
Two different sizes.
They did a really, really nice job. You can tell there's some Robbie Gant, old school Shimano influence in there because the bags are awesome.
Yeah, and we're giving one away today.
Yeah, one lucky caller or texter is getting that bag. And when we come back, we're going to be taking your phone calls. Lots of great info. You stay tuned. It's Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. This is Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
The ranch is small, you know. It's very personal, very intimate. I don't think there's anywhere else that you could have the old Baja feel and have all those miles of beachfront, the palapa roofs and the stone walls. There's not a room that you don't have some kind of ocean view. You don't give up any amenities at the ranch. It's just very rustic. You know how when you cook outdoors it tastes better? Well, that's Rancho Leonero. It just tastes better. We have paddle boards. We've got kayaks. We've got snorkeling equipment, of course. We've got 12 super pongas. We've got dive trips. We've got over 40 kayaks at the hotel. We've got all accurate equipment, very top of the line. And when the fishing's good, we'll freeze your fish, pack it all up, send it home with you. People love it. They'll come back 5-6 times a year. That's the highest accolade we can get. 1-800-646-2252. 646-AHA. And RancherLandAero.com. It's unique.
This is Rock Cop Rick for Adventure and Camping, where they bring the adventure to you. If you enjoy camping in the Eastern Sierra but don't own an RV or a trailer or simply don't want the hassle, let Adventure and Camping park it for you. Check out their website, adventureandcamping.com. Select from over 75 campgrounds they serve. Decide on a trailer floor plan that fits your needs. Request a quote for your desired vacation dates. Then just show up and start your adventure. The late summer and fall is the absolute best time to be in the Eastern Sierra. The fish are biting, the weather cools, the colors are amazing. Adventure and Camping makes it so simple. They deliver the trailer to your spot and you enjoy a clean, spacious trailer. When it comes time to go home, just close the door and drive away. It doesn't get any easier. If you enjoy camping in the Eastern Sierra but don't want the hassle, Adventure and Camping is for you. Check out adventureandcamping.com for details. Make sure you mention that Rock Cod Rick sent you for a special price. adventureandcamping.com.
Hey, this is Rosie with Cedros Sport Fishing. We have always been the leader in fishing trips to Cedros Island. We have set the bar even higher with our second lodge opening for the 2022 season. Side-by-side lodges sitting on the cliff's edge with relaxing ocean views. With direct flights departing for the CBX in San Diego, we are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. Come check out the yellowtail and calico bass capital in the world. Nobody does it better than Cedros Sport Fishing. Call me at 619-772-7570 or check us out at cedrosportfishing.com.
For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. The quality of the captains and crew, as well as the great meals and service, speak for themselves. Comfortable staterooms, a super clean and well-taken care of boat are just a few of the reasons the Islander is so popular. The Islander specializes in 1.5 to 5 day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit IslandersSportFishing.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. Again, if you want to get through and join us, 213-432-1090 or shoot us those texts. It's going to be a very busy morning with Mark and Paul.
Yeah, for sure. And thanks to you and Corey for doing a great job while I was out yesterday. You guys, that was an awesome show. It's always fun. Good when you guys get together. It was a lot of inshore stuff yesterday.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, which is Corey's love, right?
It's always fun on those shows because you never know what way it's going to go. Yeah. You just hang out and you're BSing with a couple of buds and it's fun.
It was fun.
We had a really good time.
Yeah, I know. You did great. So thanks for
coming.
Lots
of calico and inshore. And just a cool.
And some tuna talking.
You got it, man.
Yeah,
yeah,
tackle
Monday.
And all that good stuff. Yeah. So phones are packed. The texts are pouring in. Yeah, they want to talk to these guys. So let's jump into the phones.
All right. Well, why don't we start it this morning on the phones? We're going to do that with Tom. He's calling us from University City. Good morning, Tom. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hello, Tom.
Well, looks like Tom might not have been hanging near the phone, so why don't we jump back in and talk to John, who's got us from Dallas, Texas this morning. What's up, John? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. Just another beautiful day. It's starting to cool down here in Texas, but still not San Diego. But I was working on Mr. and Mrs. Smith in San Pedro, the movie, and I got a chance to go on the boat at lunchtime. It's such a beautiful boat, the Independence, but... Now that I'm retired, I'm starting to make my way to do 10 days and 4 days and all those special trips I couldn't do when I was working, but it's such a beautiful boat, and one of these days I'm going to be coming down to fish on it.
Oh, you should. Yeah. Now, here's what's crazy, too. You guys have been sold out for years, and you actually have openings now.
Yeah, we had a few openings.
Yeah. Yes. Like, what kind of trips?
Well, like 7 day, we have some openings on some 10 day trips in the fall here. We have,
the fall?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then we also got some 5 day trips we threw together this fall that we have quite a few openings.
Which would be perfect for fishing that bluefin out in the panger and all what's going on now.
You know, and the best way to know what's open is to get online and go to Independent Sport Fishing. Go to my schedule, and it shows everything.
IndependentSportFishing.com.
Yes.
Call Michelle in the office.
Yes.
Take care of you and fill you in on what needs to be done.
So nice fishing the Indy down below, too, because there is not – I mean – there, it feels like it's an unlimited amount of bait that boat holds, man. I mean, there is something to be said about being able to have it and use it when you need it. And boy, you sure can. If that's what it takes to make good fishing happen, you can dark out the sun with the amount of bait that boat holds.
And it's not only the amount. Let's say we all get the same amount, which we do in the long range world. Our capacity is large, which means you put in less bait in a larger container, so the bait gets green, it gets hot. Not packing it.
Yeah.
And that's a problem a lot of these boats have now that I'm the bait operation. I see it.
You know.
A guy has a 25-scoop tank, and he wants to put 28 scoops in it or 25 scoops. Just because it's rated at 25 scoops don't mean it's going to hold 25 scoops perfect. You put 15 scoops in a 25-scoop tank, and it's going to be unbelievable. I mean, it's going to be where you can't even catch it.
Yeah.
You know. So that's what I like about the boat. I made big capacity. We put this 100 scoops in a 200-scoop container, and that bait, by the time you get to it on the ridge, 82-degree water, 83-degree water, your bait's going to live instead of packing it and putting it through all that stress.
Well, you guys know because you run a bait company.
Yeah, well.
You know how to do it. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. Great text here from Chris in San Marcos says, for you captains, what's your favorite length of trip and why?
I like 10-day because it gives you an option. You can do ridge, the coast, Alejo's Rocks, and a little offshore, you know. That to me is a beautiful type of situation.
Yeah, I agree. 7 to 10 days.
Yeah.
Because there's times when the ridge fishing is so good, you get down there in 2-3 days.
Or one day.
Or, you go down and fishing so good that, you know, you don't need all 10 days to really make a trip. But the 10-day later in the fall when you can get down, like, outside of Potato Bank and Mag Bay, that area, and that's kind of nice, too. Later in the, like, November trips, October.
And those trips, you get to catch everything that we have on here. Because that's what's so fun, especially when you get on one of those trips you're talking about where the tuna fishing was so good. Well, we finished up on that in a couple of days, and the yellowtail in a couple of days. Well, then that gives you days to go do other fun stuff. You might go grouper fishing fishing.
Exactly.
There's even been times when the fishing for everything was so good that, you know, you spent an afternoon catching marlin because they were all balled up so much. It's just those things just allow, you know, the extra time down there allows you to do all that extra fun stuff.
Yeah.
You know what else is great about the Independence and Long Range trip is you don't need to be out of touch anymore because that internet you have on there is as fast as I have at home.
Isn't that crazy?
It's absolutely crazy.
We don't have satellite phone. We have satellite phone, but we don't even use them anymore.
Yeah, you get texts, you make phone calls. It's like it's a different era these days, right?
I was getting text updates like throughout the day from people on the trip. We just had a good stop for 13.
Yeah,
it was pretty good.
So you realize what that system is, right?
It's Starlink, right?
But you know what Starlink is? You know, it's another Elon Musk company.
Right.
I mean, if you go on their website, it'll explain why it's so fast. It's low orbiting satellites.
Yeah.
So we're not shooting way up. You know, it's that delay to get back and forth. Because the old KVH was horrific.
Oh, it was horrific. Yeah.
And they charged a lot.
I was
going to
say,
a lot more, right?
They charged a lot.
Yeah. So I got to know, how in the world can it accommodate 32 people phone in and text in and all that and not slow down? It just doesn't.
Talk to Elon Musk.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's amazing to me is that everybody can be on the thing and it's so quick.
In all due respect, so not everybody's on the same exact time.
Right.
But theoretically, it's working really good.
It could pull it off. Yeah. Well, let's head south right now. Go to our buddy John Ireland from Rancho Leonel. Buenos dias, John.
Pete, hello, Rick, Captain.
Hi, John.
Good morning, John.
Good. Buenos dias. You know, it was kind of a different week this past week. We had some strange weather both Tuesday and Wednesday. These small storm cells rolled in. Boats went out about, 6:30 normal. And about 8:30, we had these storm cells come in both days. And the wind kicked up to 50, 60 miles an hour, rain real hard, and lasted for a couple hours. But it really dumped on the fishing everybody came in early, of course, those 2 days, and it slowed down the fishing over the course of the week. It has improved now. Every day seems to get a little bit better, but it did hurt the fishing in the past week. The water temp went down. It was 91, 92 last week.
and it's down to 86 degrees now, which is a good thing.
That's good, though, right?
Yeah. You know, when it gets, you know, it's been last the week before last, the fishing, even with 90, 91 degree waters, the fishing has been very, very good for Dorado. Literally everyone's limiting on schooling Dorado. They're not far away. They're right in front of the hotel and all the way down to Pomo Park, you know, thick, mixed with yellowfin. But that weather kind of knocked things down a little bit. But every day it's getting better again. Dorado have shown back in numbers, and everyone's not limiting like they were the week before last, but they're catching quite a few, four or five at least per boat, and a couple of yellowfin as well. What they're doing is the yellowfin in particular aren't schooling under the porpoise. They're closer inside and shore, and they're bunched up along the Pomo Park borders on both north and south, and they're catching them bouncing iron off the bottom using squid and ballyhoo. And the biggest one we saw this week is about 42 pounds, but a lot of 10 to 20 pounders mixed with footballs and all that. So a decent yellowfin bite. The Dorado are schooling fish 5 to 20 pounds. It was some big bulls mixed in, some 40-pound bulls, the occasional bull. And they're being taken on ballyhoo, hoochies, and squid as well. Down on the bottom, there's good barred pargo and a lot of pompano as well. Again, it was kind of a slow start this weekend, but it's picking up every day, so we're getting a little bit better.
Sounds strange really weather. Good. Hey, and time is clicking down. If you want to go to Rancho Leonero, there's still a few spots open?
Yeah, we are. We have rooms throughout the season, you know, through December and November. Not through December, pardon me. October, November. And so we do have rooms, and the fishing's good. And come down and join us for our last year.
Yeah, for sure. Well, if somebody wants to do that, how do we get a hold of you?
Thanks, Pedro. It's 800-646-2252 or RanchoLeonero.com.
All right, John. Thanks a lot for that, and we'll talk to you next Sunday. Appreciate the call.
See you, John.
You sure will, gentlemen. Talk to you next week.
Yeah. Man, I was just thinking, you know, it's like when John closes shop, Cass is gone.
I tell
it's
you.
It's like a Baja report, yeah, right? But it's like it's an end of an era here on Let's Talk Hook Up.
I'm not ready for that.
Yeah.
I'm not ready for it. Every time you talk about that, you know, the last one, the last coming, it's like it's that day is just getting closer and closer. It's, yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
We'd say Cass is closing shop when
he's closing retiring. December 31st. He was retiring, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. So he's huge.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. He's,
someone's not taking over for him.
No, his daughter's decided they don't want to do it anymore, so they're just going to close it up.
Wow.
And then John Ireland sold the property, and he's closing up shop December 1st. So, yeah.
Kinda, now someone else is obviously going.
Well, a luxury home builder from Monterey, Mexico, and they're going to build giant.
So Rancho Leonero's gone.
Rancho Leonero is the last chance to go to Rancho Leonero.
Wow.
is now through December 1st.
Okay.
Yeah, through November. So that's why I say, hey, get on it because you want to go to that.
He had a lot
place.
Of property there, didn't he?
Oh yeah, he's got a lot of property. Yeah for sure. But and Monero, I mean, John's been with us for this is our 32nd anniversary on the air. He's been with us for almost all of those 32 years. Yeah, so it's gonna change. Change things a little bit.
We were talking about earlier Starlink and how much those things have changed. That's one of my favorite John Ireland stories is that he likes to tell was that when he first started doing the reports, he would ride a three-wheeler from where the ranch was at to where the – you know, where the one land phone line was,
right.
It was a couple-mile beach ride, and then he would have to bribe the gal in the phone house a little bit of money to come in early so that he could make his phone call up to the U.S. And he always used to love to tell that story because he said not only was it like the catch report and an opportunity to promote it, he goes, but I was in Baja in the very early 80s because it was my check-in with everybody.
Yeah.
What else is going on? How's it home? You know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
well, I can remember 81 when Paul, we went down there with Iser, and he had his lorry with – his daughters with them, and we were with some buddies, and there was only two or three. There was Giggly Marlin, the Banditos bar.
Yeah.
It was like two bars.
Down in Cabo, yeah.
In Cabo. I mean, dirt roads.
Yeah.
I can remember stumbling down from that Bandito bar one afternoon, dirt roads with a case of beer, and there was nothing. There was
nothing.
You know, the
we were staying at the Hacienda because it was the hotel.
Oh, yeah. No, the Hacienda was it.
There was the Finisterre.
Yeah.
Up on the
Finisterre
hill.
Finisterre.
And the famous and Monte D. Cortez.
Monte D. Cortez. Yeah.
I think it's still there, isn't it?
Maybe, yeah. Hacienda's gone.
Yeah.
Well, Finisterre is still rebuilt, there. Right?
Yeah, it's kind of different.
It's kind of, we stayed there one time with Brent and the guys. It's it's kind of like a luxury condo rental.
John's place over there on the East Cape. I Rancho Millonero. I drove it one time on ATVs.
Beautiful.
Played that little game in the bar with
The ring
game.
The ring toss.
That's pretty interesting area there. Nice.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
It's pretty cool.
Right on
it's,
the point.
Yeah, things are changing now.
No doubt.
Season stuff. But speaking of changing, you guys talked about how long did you work with Russ Izor?
Russ came down to the Sport King when I was 14. Jim Peterson goes, listen, this is going to be an old-timer going to run the boat. Just make sure everything is perfect, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, started working for him. I mean, I started working in his company when
so
I was...
So he was an old-timer. I got to think.
He's in his older 50s, I think.
He probably wasn't even. He was probably in his... Let's see. He passed away in...
03.
Right before he put the independence in the water. He used to come down every day before we moved over to TI.
And tell you how to do it?
No,
he came over and he walked and he told me and Mark, listen, Sonny. He goes, I'm going to come here every day just to look at progress. Because remember now, he built five or six boats.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And I just want to see how things are going. Don't stop work, whatever you do for me. And me and Mark sipped it and then he'd drive through.
So if that was 2003 and then, so basically 83 we started.
Yeah.
So he was about 50. Well, he was younger than that. Yeah. He was in his late 40s. He was in his late 40s when he started running the sport.
He was 40 years older than us, I think.
Yeah.
He just retired. Well, he sold the piece. Yeah. He sold the piece. And I think at 55 years old, he sold the piece and started. And with $1,500, he started Izorline.
Wow.
Monofilament. Started buying monofilament.
Yeah. 80, yeah, you're right. He was 80 in 03.
And he
had
like,
100 now. Yeah.
Practically created Spectra of the modern era.
Yeah, he got involved in this Spiderwire.
Spiderwire. Yeah.
And he's come on the boat, and he's goes, I got this stuff on this reel. You feel every little nibble 200 feet down because there's no stretch.
And like, think about that now. Everybody has it on the reel. Right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's funny. he was kind of experimenting with it because he was always a guy to get new stuff and experiment. Yeah. We were sitting there at Catalina, and he's using it with a short top shot. I'm not talking about in the 80s. Okay. I'm going back a lot before anybody even thought
anybody
about
knew it.
And he hooked a halibut. And this halibut is shit. You know how halibut shit.
Yeah.
And he's just getting with a slight rod, getting his ass kicked, and he loses the fish. I go, I don't think that stuff's going to work out, Russ. He goes, nah, I got a little bit longer. I got to do this or that. And he kept playing around with it. And the knots weren't as good then. You know, the whole connection weren't like they are now. But he stuck with it, and here it is.
You know, and you got to remember, Russ Izor was an innovator. He's always looking.
Yeah.
And he always told us, I shouldn't have been a sport fishing captain because he was a very intelligent man.
Sure.
You know, he was in photography, what he did in World War II. He did the photos and that kind of stuff. But he built Izor Reef. And basically, he went to the Coastal Commission because there was a bridge in San Pedro that was going to be demolished, and he wanted to make more reefs. So he went through all the process and built for eight spots. We put Mark was on the boat, and we did all the stuff, remember, on the first string. And he dumped eight reefs out there, but that now was permitted for anything to be dumped.
Wow.
I'm not anything, but that's a place where you dump cement.
Clean
dump.
Cement.
But it was permitted now. So eight spots turned into like, I mean, you got to watch yourself because you could lose your anchor. You don't know what
you're huge. Wow. So Izor Reef is huge, and I drive over it all the time. And it's growing in now. There's growth on the reef. That
and it's a great resource for fish.
There's millions of fish caught there.
Yeah.
These twilight boats, all these half-day guys, three-quarter guys should put flowers on his grave for what he did for the local industry in an area that had nothing.
Nothing.
Huntington Beach was just a
big mud
area.
Yeah.
And the day we put those reefs, I swear, I think it was a 2 or 3 days later, Brockman would be on the freelance and he caught sculpin on the spots.
Jeez.
The sculpin in the area just come to something.
Wow.
And so it started attracting things over
time. It took a while for the bass to really get on there because it takes time to grow in. But it's an actual living reef now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's gnarly because they used all that bridge, you know.
So there's rebar. And
there's rebar, and there's.
Watch your anchor.
There's steel. And
how many anchors have you lost there?
Well, I have a diver that say, you want anchors? I'm going to take me out there. I'll grab some anchors.
There's,
it's that easy.
There's hundreds of them.
Oh, hundreds of them. Really.
I mean, back in the day, Russ did kelp transplants. When Portuguese Ben didn't have much kelp, he went to Catalina Island. I remember putting them in trash cans with Holdfast and rocks.
Get
and dumping
here.
Them off along the beach. He did calico bass tag and release, finding out that calico bass were all dropped off at Portuguese Bend and that along our coast, and we found them as far north as Point Doom and as far south as Dana Point.
We dropped off sea bass.
Major sea bass.
We did the first sea bass pen, grow out pen. Wow. We dropped them. And I think it was that we picked them up, and it was Redondo or Marine Del Rey?
Might have been Redondo.
It was either Redondo or Marine Del Rey, and we dropped them off at in Portuguese Bend, real shallow, because we didn't want predators. They were only this big. And what was funny, they're
like
all
six
about,
inches.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all like six, but there was one in there that was like, I'll never forget, it was like 12 inches, but it was dead because it had eaten a smaller one, and it was stuck in its gills, like it was trying to swallow this other sea bass, and it had died, and I go,
well, that's dinner.
The mystery fish of everything was doing the twilight sand bass tagging. We would tag them all night long, tag the same one three times, and you'd catch them. But the mystery was the next year, we never recovered.
They were gone.
Really?
Yeah.
They moved somewhere
else.
We
don't know where the heck they all ended up.
Yeah.
And that was one fish we couldn't put a pin on.
And then it's not like they went away. The next year you'd catch just as many, but no tags.
No tags. I mean, that was the one fish that really boggled Russ, was the sand bass.
He did that all on his own dime. We used to take like a lot of the tackle store guys out and just the people in the industry. There was nights we tagged 1,000 sand bass.
Wow.
Like he says, because we're tagging shorts, legals, whatever.
Everything.
And nobody knows what happened to them.
Well, they just never recovered.
I really don't know if they ever recovered any tags, but while we were sitting there fishing, you'd recover them. Like Paul said, you'd catch the same fish three times.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so funny.
Yeah. We already tagged one, throw it back.
But calico bass, we definitely recover those. But the sand bass was a weird one.
Yeah.
You have a good one, Rick?
Yeah, I thought so. Definitely, you know, talking about the Indy. This is, good morning, guys. It's from Vince in Point Loma. How does the bulbous bow of the Independence affect the ride and fuel efficiency?
I would only say it affects it in a good way. Mm-hmm. The ride has to improve the ride. Mm-hmm. The up and down pitch motion is going to be slow. And the fuel efficiency is probably better. You got to remember, we started with the boat with the bulb. It wasn't like we had the boat and we added it so we can do our comparison. But every ship, we have a few boats here in San Diego that added bulbs to their boats. And everyone, like Mike Lackey and the Condor and a few boats, they definitely notice an up and down pitch, a dolphin motion, as we call it, decrease. And it develops a hole before the boat enters it. It makes the boat longer in respects on paper. Remember, longer and not as wide is more efficient in the water. So it adds an extra 6, 7, 8 feet to the boat, whether it's above the water or below the water.
That boat has an amazing ride. And then when you're sideways, it's such a platform, stable.
Yeah, no, it's you really don't realize it till you go. Or you come off another boat. Like,
right.
I hopped on the Amigo with my kid, and I'm like, I can't be on small boats. but the thing I will say about the bulb, too, it saves your butt when it comes to, like, hitting stuff, too.
Oh. Yeah.
There's always big scars on you. You know, in the middle of the night, you run over a pallet or a log. And, you know, an interesting thing, last year, Matt, they were coming in, and they must have picked up a line that was wrapped around it. And they came all the way in the harbor, came in the receiver like at 2-3 in the morning just to tie up, didn't know it was there, backed up and got it in the wheel. So luckily, it happened there and not out on the ocean.
Right.
It happened to a lot of guys where they suck a line up and they blow a gearbox or they bend a shaft or ruin a wheel.
Because if you suck,
it's those four, like those pen lines.
Yeah, big toe lines.
They're like 4-inch lines. They're huge.
Oh yeah. But and there's a lot of stuff floating around
there's a lot of stuff.
You suck that line up going 1,500 RPMs, you're going to do some damage. Done. But here he just sucked up and just put the boat in gear.
Oh.
So we're all good. So, but like,
what did you do? Did you send a diver down?
Yeah. But like Mark said, that thing, it's the bulb is a 1/2 inch thick. It's what it was, the 48 inch pipe that we cut out and when we built it.
Right.
And the cap is exactly 360 degrees. I mean, 180. And so you can't bend that cap. It's so strong.
That's cool.
That's great. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming right, including checking in with the catch report, find out what's biting up and down the beach, and a whole lot more of your phone calls. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Low, low, low gas prices, great service, and free ice is what Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena is all about. For your car, truck, and especially your trailer boat, you need Summit Gasoline. The savings are substantial when you fill up at the Summit, but they don't compromise on service. No way. The great staff is attentive, friendly, and ready to help. When you pull up to the pumps, notice how clean it is, the great sound system, and of course, the low gas and diesel prices. Walk into the Summit Gasoline Bistro and check out the selection of frozen bait and chum, the top-of-the-line Italian coffee, and so much more. Now, hear this. Get 100 pounds of ice free with a 35-gallon minimum purchase, and stock up on snacks, beer, water, soda, and fishing licenses for your trip. Just when you need low gas prices most, Summit Gasoline at the Sports Arena comes to the rescue. Summit Gasoline. Low prices, friendly staff, free ice, and easy in and out with your boat and trailer at the San Diego Sports Arena.
Hey, it's time to talk about great gear from Shimano. And, you know, Shimano doesn't have to put out a lot of new stuff because their old stuff is, is great. But they just came out with the best reel ever just got better, and that's Talica. Talica A is available.
I always think that Talica is the pinnacle of two-speed reels, and it could get no better. Well, it did get better. It just took Shimano making an improvement to an already perfect thing. Talica A is not a huge difference, which is what I like. It is a subtle difference. It fits in your hand better. It's got an extra ball bearing.
Right.
It's a little smoother. It holds the exact same amount of line capacity. The 12 and the 16, both available now. They hold the same amount of line that your old 12 and 16 did. Price is the same. It's just tricked out a little more. It's a little nicer, a little smaller feel. Still same great drag pressure, still same great torque, still same great free spool, just an updated killer version.
Yeah, so check it out. The new Talica A at your local Shimano dealer.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere. It's time for the Power Pro 30-Second Seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with Power Pro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard Power Pro, so you get more line on that small reel. Power Pro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand new Power Pro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet. Perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app. Having a great time with Mark and Paul from the Independence, 22nd Street Landing, San Pedro Bait Company, and Point Loma Sport Fishing. They kind of have a lot of irons in the fire. These guys are always busy doing something.
A lot of hats in the back seat of the truck with these two.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's find out what's biting.
You got it, man. Indeed, it's time for the catch report. We got the man, Brian Woolley, standing by. And today, that catch report, hey, man, it's time for SoCal, or for tuna in SoCal, and if you're not using Gamakatsu hooks, you're missing bites. That Nautilus circle hook comes in sizes as small as a number 4 and all the way up to a 6-0, and for big fish, the Nautilus HD is tough enough, but not too oversized. They both come with rings or non-rings. You can see your local dealer or check Gamakatsu.com for that great hook. And let's head on up to Dana Ward Sport Fishing. Talk to the man. Wooly's on the line. What up, Wooly?
Hey, good morning, guys. How's everyone this morning?
Doing great.
Good. Hey, interesting week for us again. You know, we had boats all over the place this week, from Colmeni, Catalina, Tanner Bank offshore, and a million spots along our coast here locally. The half-day stuff for us, pretty much just calico bass fishing, trying to get in and around little zones of this red tide that have been kind of hunkered down and lingering. We're fishing 70-degree water, and with that, you know, the calico bass action was pretty decent on the live sardines. For those guys fly lining baits this week in that half day zone, and some guys got some real nice ones on the hard baits, you know, casting out on the periphery, you know, just where your bait can't quite make it that far away from the boat kind of a zone, you know, guys bombing those cold center hard baits. catching some real nice ones along the edges there. But plenty of action for those guys fishing the sinker setups too, that sheephead, sculpin, and we're still seeing occasional halibut every day or two on those half-day trips. And the three-quarter day this week, we fish bass locally there. Kind of same results as that half-day stuff. Some days we had guys fishing cod out there on the 14, and then we had boats offshore fishing both yellowfin and bluefin and that mahi. We caught our yellowfin this week in a couple different areas. We caught fish on the dolphin. We had some fish on kelps. We had a good shot at that yellowfin on Wednesday on some sonar schools down the coast. It was a good grade fish, 25 to 35-pound yellowfin. Kept things interesting, so it's given us a little bit of stuff to kind of look at during the week there other than just, you know, fishing cod or bass. And also some scattered mahi in our zone, but just, you know, typical, you know, mahi within easy range of launch ramps. You know, it was a little tricky. Lots of boats out looking for the same kelp kind of a deal. So there was a lot of pressure through our zone. So the mahi that we caught were scattered. We didn't see any big, you know, giant schools on kelp. So it's just a few here and there kind of a deal. So we'll keep tabs on that scene this week. It definitely slowed down over the last few days. So we'll probably still have some boats out there looking around. Partial days. I don't think we're going to spend full days out there, but we'll take a look at it nonetheless. And then the Fury and the Lexi, they had some good tuna and mahi scores in the overnight and all-day ranges. First part of the week, they had their best scores, but things, again, like I was mentioning, there kind of got tricky as the week kind of moved on and that fish moved. So new zones to look at this week for them and at Kalmeni. Good bass fishing and still some opportunity at that yellowtail over there. And it's been kind of mixed fish, some of that 8 to 12-pound stuff and then more of the traditional 25 to 30-pound fish over there too. But mostly bass fishing. I was over there on the Fury yesterday, and, you know, we tried hard. Conditions were all over the place. A little bit of swell push on the back of the island as things kind of washed out. But just standard kind of in between different systems and weirdness kind of going on, I think, across the board. So a new week starts today, and we'll see how it plays out. So we're definitely going to be out there in those areas trying to keep the ball rolling. So
if you guys want to hop on a trip right here. Now, right?
What's that?
Every day is different.
It's every day. There's been really no consistency at all. I think that's pretty much the theme here to 2023, at least through our stretch. I think it's the same just about everywhere. So just guys want to hop on a trip, give us a call. Our number 949-496-5794. Of course, you can hit us there at danawarf.com or even link us there through the Let's Talk Hookup page, and we can get your reservation and get you out there from there.
Just looking at Windy for the, you know, during the break there, Willie, the stretch coming up, especially with Dana Point as ground zero, looks beautiful. I mean, there'll be a nice, it looks like a nice low wind week of fishing. Good looking and good comfortable fishing conditions.
We'll take it, man. I mean, I'm sitting here in rain right now in San Clemente, so it's bizarre. But
rain.
Well, I think we're going to have a good week. I think you're right, so we'll see how it plays out.
Let's make it. Great. Right. Willie, appreciate a great report as always, bro, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, guys. Thanks for that. See ya. Right.
Thanks, Willie.
Hey, see ya. Hey, while we're waiting for Gundy, we have a bunch of calls here. If you want to get through, there's one line, 213-432-1090. Let's jump into it, Rick.
You got it. Well, next on the phones is Bob, and Bob's calling us from Dana Point this morning. Hi, Bob. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mark, you advertised a cow trip in the Western Outdoor News in December of 2005, and you shot down to the Lower Banks. And it was perfectly flat, and everywhere I looked, there was 200 to 300-pound fish jumping out of the water. And every one of us, 27 passengers, caught his personal best. I got my first, second, third, and fourth cow on your trip. And we had Walter McFarlane as a cook.
Walter.
Who was like a six-star chef. And everything about your boat was marvelous. And Mark, tell us about that trip.
Well, that's called heaven on earth.
Yeah. You're not lying.
That's crazy, Bob. Yeah.
You know, that's one of the nicest things about fishing the fall is you get those days that are just slick, calm. And I remember what you're talking. We put those trips together because it was the second year the boat was in the water. We didn't have a lot going on in the fall then. And those, I remember Bill Poole saying, you guys are so lucky because you just put this boat in the water. You got this tremendous fishing opportunity. You would put these 10-day trips together, and we'd sell them. Like, we'd put it online and sell it out within 3 or 4 days because it was just unheard of to have those big.
Epic, yeah.
Like Bob's, I mean, yeah, Bob said, everybody, guys were getting their personal best. I mean, these are fish that you'd normally catch on a 16-day trip.
Yeah.
You know, and there was, it was clean fishing.
Exactly.
In other words, there's
exactly.
no sharks, there's no small fish, there's it's just straight.
Just straight big ones.
Big fish and nothing in the way.
No wow. reef to rub just, you
yeah,
off on.
Deep they, water, drifting, they, you know, it's, like I said, slice of heaven. It was awesome fishing.
They bit heavy line and big hooks.
And we'd run on a 10-day, we'd run straight down and get 5 full days of fishing. And then maybe,
oh
I remember stopping at the big Dorado on some of those trips were biting up there on the ridge, I think on one of the little spots there. And just on the way home, we'd stop and we'd catch about, you know, whatever, our limit of these 30-pound Dorado, 25, 30-pound Dorado. That was kind of a little spice on top. But
yeah.
that was an awesome fall of fishing, for
yeah.
sure.
It could happen again. You never know. That's the cool thing
yeah,
about fishing. That was pretty epic.
Yeah,
but what a great way to start on the boat, though.
Yeah, I was on
right?
year number no. two. So.
Yeah, year number two
yeah.
of the Independence.
Yeah.
Well, wow.
Bob, that was in 2005. I understand you were on some big fish over these last couple of days. Looks like Bob might have snuck
yeah.
off there. Yeah, but, well, certainly some great fishing. That's awesome. Hey, when we come back, we got another full hour. Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. We're going to continue with the Catch Report. More of your phone calls, more great info. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Offshore fishing is on. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. For bluefin tuna and yellowtail, nothing beats the Shimano Talica, the pinnacle of lever drag 2-speed reels. Shimano's Speedmaster 2 is also an extremely durable, high-performance lever drag reel for the more budget-minded angler. Both the Talica and Speedmaster 2 feature Shimano's Hagani body to prevent misalignment of moving parts under the heaviest of loads. For all your Shimano, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing offers half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day trips on the Liberty. Many trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Seasoned long-range fishermen know that the Red Rooster 3 is the finest fishing vessels in terms of technology, design, speed, comfort, and safety. This 105-foot sport fishing yacht meets every demand for comfort while delivering an unforgettable fishing vacation. Captain Andy Cates and crew are experienced, friendly, and sincere in their desire to help you have the trip of a lifetime. Book a trip on the Red Rooster 3, and you'll be back. Trips go fast. So check RedRooster3.com or call Lee Palm Sport Fisheries at 619-224-3857.
Hey, we're so lucky here in San Diego. We have fantastic weather and great fishing. We also have 3 great shops to take care of anglers. Hi, this is Ben, and you will see me at my dad's shop, Dana Landing in Mission Bay. We call it the one-stop shopper, a great day on the water. Because it truly is. Food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. Our tackle shop, headed by Johnny, is certainly one of the best. We have you covered from bay bass to big tuna. Plus, we have Doug, one of the finest reel repair guys around. For freshwater tackle, nothing beats East County Bait and Tackle. Jeet and the guys have the best rod and reels, the hottest lures, and live bait. Our newest shop is Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle. Growing their stock of both fresh and saltwater tackle right in the heart of Lemon Grove. ECBT is at the end of the 67 freeway on Maple View and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, 94 to Broadway in Lemon Grove. And Dana Landing is next to the Dana Launch Ramp in Mission Bay. Check danalanding.com for more details.
Here's the hot tip on the best fishing L.A. has to offer, 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. They are home to L.A.'s finest open party fleet, including overnight on the Freedom, Catalina Freelance on the Pursuit, half-day trips on the Monte Carlo, and three-quarter-day trips on the Sea Angler. For your own private charter, we have the Outrider and True Line available. There's always plenty of free parking and a fully stocked tackle store. 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. Call 310-832-8304 or on the web at 22ndstreet.com.
There are moments that change our perception of what is and isn't possible. Cosmic shifts where the stars align with the Earth to alter how we see the world. The release of King Tide is one of those moments. This is the crowning achievement of Costa's 40-year legacy on the water. The culmination of every innovation and lessons learned up until this point. Wins and losses and highs and lows have brought us here to stand witness to a legacy brought to life. To achieve the ultimate potential on the water. Costa King Tide. Rule the water.